Come on, man. You can't hear that song without wanting to move a little bit. How many are want to change your sound? Anybody want to change your sound? All right. How the rest of you, how many want to stay the same? Some of you raised your hand right there. I saw that. Okay, I got you. I got you. How many want to change your sound? Amen? All right. We're learning to let God change our sound because we are understanding our sound affects the atmosphere we live in. It affects the atmosphere of our church services. It affects the atmospheres of our home, of our job, the things where are coming out of our mouth, the praise is coming out of our mouth, the worship is coming from our heart, the things we're allowing to come in our ear, they affect the environment that we live in. And so today we're learning, as we've been talking, that Jesus said that if you want something new to be done in your life, if you want a new thing of God, that you've got to destroy the old wineskin and prepare yourself as a new wineskin. Basically saying this, that we can't do old traditions. We can't be the same way day in, day out, and not change our routine, not have a change of attitude, not have a change of heart, if we want to expect God to do something different in our life. And so we want something new, something fresh from the Lord. His word never changes. It lasts. It's timeless from generation to generation. But we see where God wants to do new things in our life, fresh moves of the Holy Spirit in our life, encouragement to us, but that comes through preparing ourselves as new wineskins. We talked about how praise affects our environment, how God inhabits the praises of his people. And when God's there, man, things begin to change. And we want God to be here in our midst. And he comes and he dwells in the praises. You want your home to change and let a praise come out. You want your work to change and let a praise come out of your heart to the Lord and say, I want to change the atmosphere, God, of my place I am living, where I work, where I walk. I want my environment to change. Then let's change the sound. Let's let a positive word come out of our heart. Let's let a praise be on our lips all the time. So scripture says, may his praises continually be in my mouth. Last week we talked about a fresh worship and how Jesus used the harlot woman to come in and how he used her to come in and teach you and I about worship and how worship is about the heart and coming in and keeping it fresh. We talked about keeping the worship fresh in our heart before the Lord. Today I want to talk, as we get into part five of this series of Change Your Sound, I want to talk to you about the presence of God. The presence of God. God is omnipresent. You've heard that taught before, maybe. The word omnipresent means everywhere, of course, and God's presence is everywhere. So we know this to be true, that God's presence is everywhere. But today we're not focusing upon the omnipresence of God. We're not also focusing upon the inner presence of God. There's an inner presence to come, and when we're filled with his Holy Spirit, that we can have his Spirit inside of us, that is walking with us, communicating with us, leading us. We're led by the Spirit, being Spirit-led people. I want to concentrate not on the omnipresence, not on the inner presence, but today I want to talk about the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. The manifest presence of God. That when God shows up, that your spirit man sees it. That your spirit man experiences it. That your spirit man says, man, I see something different. You can't be in the true presence of God and not be changed. People's lives are changed when God shows up in a powerful way. Your heart sees God. Your spirit engages and say, man, God is in the house. You ever been there? When you walked in and said, man, God is in the house today. And something begins to change in you because your spirit, man, your spirit eyes begin to see God differently. It's important because Psalm says in 16:11, it says, in your presence, there is fullness of what? Joy. How many want to be full of the joy of the Lord? He says that that fullness comes in his presence. It doesn't say in your presence, there's a half tank. In your presence, you'll be only a quarter of the way filled up. No, he says in God's presence, you become full of the joy of the Lord. Very key. Acts says it like this in chapter 3, verse 19. It says that this, that so that our sins may be wiped away. This is that your times of what? Times of refreshment will come from what? The presence of the Lord. Now, he's not talking about snack time. It isn't preschool. He's talking about refreshing of our spirit, refreshing of our spirit, man. He says times of refreshment will come from bringing in the presence of the Lord. You can't help it when you're in the true presence of God not to feel refreshed. Some of you already, your countenance has changed since you spent time in worship. You walked in heavy and already your spirit's feeling lighter. You walked in burdened and already you're feeling something different. Some of you don't even know what that is yet, but that's what happens when you spend time in the presence of God. Burdens become lighter. He becomes bigger. My problems become smaller. There's times of refreshing. And so keeping those things in mind, let's go right into our story today that I want to touch on. It's found in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Let's read the first four verses of Isaiah chapter 6 right now. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He said, I seen the Lord high and exalted. He was seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were the seraphims, talking about angels, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling out one to another, holy, 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 three times, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound, something about that, right? The sound, changing our sound. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook. Some of you need to shake some things up in your life. You need to let a sound come out of your mouth. It says, at the sound of their praise, is what he's saying. At the sound of their praise, the doorposts shook, the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with the smoke, talking about the tangible presence of God was showing up in this place. What we see happening here is King Uzziah was a very popular king. He reigned for 52 years in Israel, and he was considered a great and mighty king. Many inventions were done under him. He was a great warrior, and we're going to describe him here in just a second, but we see up until the very end of his life, he was considered a very highly favored man of God. You see, when you get into real presence of God, your eyes will be open to see things you never seen before. Things will happen. You'll see things you never seen before. Isaiah said, I was in the temple. He was there mourning the loss of King Uzziah. And he says, I see the Lord. Let me give you quickly three things that will happen when you see the Lord. When you're in God's presence, when God's presence is there manifesting, three things will happen in our midst. Number one, your eyes will see just how big God is. King Uzziah said, I see the Lord. He's high and exalted. His train filled the temple. King Uzziah reigned for 52 years, a very popular king. A very much admiration was given to him. Cheers, admiration. People love King Uzziah. He delivered them, helped keep them from harm's way. He kept them at a safe place. He was considered a very wise and military wise king. Matter of fact, 2 Chronicles describes him here in chapter 26 and verses 14 and 15. It says, then Uzziah prepared for them, talking about their army, for the entire army, shields and spears, helmets and body armor, bows and slings to cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and large stones. I mean, you can take it for what you want, but I believe by reading the scripture that he was probably the inventor of the catapult. Okay, you can, if you don't agree with me that, don't send me an email because I really don't care. I really don't. But I'm just giving you my opinion. He was such a wise person that he was inventing things of war that had never been invented before. And he was able to shoot multitudes of arrows at one time. He could invent machines that would cast large stones, which I believe were catapults. So his fame spread far and wide. He was marvelously helped till he became strong. So we see this King Uzziah, he was strong military leader. People looked up to him. They admired him. He was inventing new things of war, protecting his country, delivering his country. And people were like, King Uzziah is the man. I mean, he won the vote for 52 years straight. He was there. People loved him. And he was such a powerful and strong king and leader. But something happened that later on in his life as king, he became very arrogant. People loved him, cheered him, admired him. He's the great king. And so he let it go to his head. And it says one day he went into the temple. Now, remember, in the Old Testament, God had given strict protocol on how to enter in the presence of God, how the God should be worshipped in the temple. And so as he's in the temple there, he goes in, and the priests were ones who had been commissioned and anointed of God to burn the incense as an offering to the Lord. And he goes in, he grabs the incense, and he starts burning it himself, waving it around, trying to burn it himself. And the priests are like, it says 18 priests came to him and said, "Whoa, king, stop!" They're like, "What are you doing? You know what God has said. God said that only the anointed ones, the king, the priests, are allowed to burn the incense in the temple." And he was so arrogant. He was like, "Who are you guys to tell me I'm the king, Uzziah? I am the man. Don't tell me how to worship." Have we seen anything that's similar today? Huh? How many of us have the same kind of attitude? "Pastor, please don't tell me how to worship. I'll worship God my own way. I'll just work it out for myself." And that has its place, but God gives protocol on how he wants to be worshiped. And one thing that we see a pattern in the Old Testament and in the New Testament is this, that God does not allow pride to come in when it comes to worship. If you think you're bigger than God, if you think you got it all figured out, he resists that. Scripture makes it very clear that God resists the prideful and he exalts the humble. So we know this when it comes to our worship, Old Testament and New Testament, that where there is pride, God doesn't accept our worship. He doesn't say where there's sin, but one thing he does reject, it's not the sin, but he rejects pride. He said pride cometh before the fall, and he rejects the pride in our life, that thinking we got it figured out. We can worship God our own way. I don't need to worship God God's way. I'll worship him my own way. God always rejects that. And we see the same attitude happening. You know what happened? It says that while the priests were commanding him to stop, and he said, "Hey, I'm not going to stop," it says immediately on his head that leprosy began to break out on his face. You're talking about a whoa moment. Can you see those priests? "Ooh, king, you did it now. I told you." And leprosy broke out on his face right then. What a tragedy. Pride steps up. "You can't tell me how to worship. I'm the king. I can do this my own way." It says leprosy breaks out on his head right there. And so, of course, according to that tradition in those days, the king had to be separate. Leopards had to be lived separate. And so he spent the rest of his life isolated from the kingdom, from his family, all because he thought he could come in and just worship however he thought he wanted to. There's a danger when we allow pride to come into our worship. And so we got to come in and say, "God, we got to see just how big you are. Not how big I am, but how big you are." So Isaiah said that he goes to the temple. Isaiah goes to the temple. They're in mourning because the king has died. And they're all thinking, what's going to happen to us now? Who's going to protect us now? The country's in mourning. The nation's in mourning. Who's going to replace King Uzziah? 52 years, we've been on protection. Now who's going to step up? And they're in mourning, and he goes to the temple to mourn and to worship. And all of a sudden, the presence of God begins to manifest, and it says that Uzziah looks up, and he was looking for the king. He was like, "Who's going to replace the king? Who's going to replace the king Uzziah?" And all of a sudden, he has a vision of not King Uzziah, but he has a vision of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All of a sudden, his attitude changes. He's like, "Wow, I came here mourning King Uzziah, but now, all of a sudden, I'm seeing a vision of the King of Kings. His train is filling the temple. Look how big God is. Wow." And God is manifesting himself and showing himself the King Uzziah. Listen, when we come in and we bring the presence of God in our praise, we bring the presence of God in our worship, God wants to open up your spiritual eyes to see him in a new way. He wants you to have glimpses of who he is in your life. He wants you to see that he's a big God and he's got your back. He wants you to see he's a big God with big grace in your life. He wants you to see he's a big God and he's in control. He wants to reveal that to our spiritual eyes, but we can't see that on our natural eyes. It only happens when we enter into the manifest presence of God. Our eyes are opened and we see things. See, God has always designed for you and I to be present in corporate worship. Because he wants to show himself real to us. He wants to manifest himself to us. This is why I've been teaching over the last few weeks, I've mentioned it several times, that God wants you here in the house to worship. He wants you here because he wants to reveal himself to you in a new way. He wants you to see things you never saw before. He wants your eyes to open. That's why Satan fights us so hard every Sunday to keep you distracted. Every Sunday, something will go wrong. Saturday night, Sunday morning. It will try to keep you from missing church, won't it? Now, for those listening on the podcast, I'm preaching to you today. Everybody that's in here, they're smiling because they're thinking, I thank the Lord I was here this morning. The podcast is okay for those who are sick. The podcast is okay for those who can't be in church. But if you can be here, you need to be here because there's only a certain amount you will experience over online. There's only a certain amount you'll experience watching something on TV. You got to be in a live congregation with a live worship. God, I want to be there when your spirit is poured out. God, I want to have natural eyes to see what's happening, not just in the inner presence, not just in the omnipresence, but I want to be here when your spirit begins to manifest and people begin to see things spiritually at another level. Things you won't see on the internet, you'll see in a live worship service. Your eyes become open to who God is, how big he really is in your life. Have you ever noticed that tomorrow morning when we get ready to go to school, take our kids to school and be at work, that we'll get all of our kids ready for school. We'll have them all there checked in at 7:30, ready to go. We'll clock into work early before 8 o'clock, but yet we can't be on time at 9 o'clock or 10:50. Oh, why is that? I'm not here to make you feel bad. I don't believe it's a priority problem. I believe that for the most part, you want to be here and you want to be on time and you want to be here. But it's like all hell breaks loose on Sunday morning, isn't it? You're having to fight with your spouse on the way to church and you're trying to get your kids ready and you can't find anything. Everything's breaking. Electricity goes off. Your clock alarm didn't go off. Things happen and everything, it's like all hell breaks loose on Sunday morning. And you're trying to get to church on time and you got to pull the car over twice to spank your kids. You and your wife are going right at each other and you walk into church and she's crying, your kids are upset, and you walk in all talking to you the rest of the day. You wait till we get out of church, and you walk in, hallelujah, hallelujah, yes, hallelujah, bless you. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, am I the only one that ever has this problem, okay? My wife and I figured this out a long time ago. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen on Sunday morning or Saturday night. It breaks out. It does. It happens. We get distracted. Why? Have you ever thought about why? Does Satan hate your family that much that he's just trying to? No, but he doesn't want you here. He does not want you here. Because when we're here and the corporate worship is coming, the presence of God is here and he's abiding in the presence of his people, you're going to see things you never saw before. You're going to see how big God really is in your life. You're going to see God, wow, God. I mean, every time I come into a worship service and God's presence is there, I see things that I never saw before. Because some of the best sermons that have ever been preached to me were not from a pulpit. It was from being involved with the Holy Spirit talking to me in the middle of a worship service. Anybody else ever had that happen to you before? Yeah. It happens, doesn't it? When the presence of God is here, things begin to happen. We see God in a deeper level. Our eyes are open. It's like the scales that Paul had fall off his eyes. When God was calling out to him, remember that? He blinded them. His scales fall off our eyes spiritually, and all of a sudden, we can see the Lord. Hey, I see the Lord. He is high and exalted. Look how big my God is. Yeah, God, you got this. Yeah, God, you got this. I see how big my God is. Look what he's done. See, Satan fights us. Listen, Satan fights hard to distract us from meeting together so that we won't get a vision of how big God really is. He doesn't want you here. I just tell you that right now. He does not want you here on a consistent basis because he knows what happens when you see God, how big he is. Your faith grows, your walk matures, and change happens. If we're not changing, I don't care how much you shout. I don't care how much you dance. I don't care how much you clap your hands. I don't care how loud you sing. If change is not happening, then we're doing it for the wrong reason, okay? Change needs to happen. And change happens in the praise. That's all part of it. But that happens when we see the Lord. God, I see you high and exalted. I feel your presence here. God, you're changing me. You're touching me. You're challenging me. You're pulling at my heart. I see how big your grace is in my life. I should be changing. And that happens. So he doesn't want you here, which brings us to our second point, because when his presence is here, we actually see how small we really are. Isn't that true? We really see how small we really are. Look at Isaiah's response. He gets a revelation. I see the Lord. And now look at his response in verse 5. He says, woe to me. How little am I, is what he's saying. How little am I cried. For I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord God Almighty. See, when you truly see God, you realize just how small we really are. God, you're holy, God, and I'm not. God, you are holy. And my problems, as I said earlier today, that when I see God, how big he is, my problems begin to shrink. You know, what I focus on grows, right? What you focus on, you stare at your problem long enough, you think about your problem long enough, that thing will become a giant to you. But you focus in on how big your God is, and all of a sudden you say, you know what? My problem's not so big for my God. My God has got this. This God has got this. He is in control of my life. And my faith begins to build as I focus upon him. I see the Lord. God, whoa, I am small, but God, you are big. My problems are small, but God, you are big. God, I am unclean. That's what he says. He said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. God Almighty, we see this happening. The angels are singing it. You ever notice that when it comes to attributes of the Lord, that we never see any other attribute repeated three times except for holy, holy, holy. We never see faithful, faithful, faithful. We never see love, love, love. We never receive heal, heal, heal. I mean, when we're talking about attributes that the Lord has, that when it comes to his holiness, we see it emphasized triple times. Emphasizing that this is our God, that he is a holy God. What holy simply means is this. Holy means to be set apart. To be set apart from anything else. He is so much greater than anything else. Our God is holy, holy, holy. He's not like us. He's not like any other God. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the God of Gods. He is there, and he is holy. There is none like our God. The angels are declaring it 24/7. Holy, holy, holy. Our God is set apart, set apart, set apart. There is none like him. No name is higher. Our God is holy. And when I see him, I see, God, you are holy, and I'm not. It brings me to a place of humility in my life. Because I see, God, I'm unclean. That's the way I look at it. I say, God, I'm unclean. You're holy, I'm not. You know what? And God is okay with that. He's okay with you saying that. He's okay with you being like, you know what? I've made some mistakes this week. I've had some sin in my life this week. It's okay. God is okay with that. What he's not okay with is pride. But he's okay with sin. As long as we confess it to the Lord, he's okay. Why? Because he has already made atonement in our life for the sin. We see this. Revelations 4:8 talks about the same thing. The angels are saying it. John's vision of heaven, he said, I see the four living creatures, each having six wings. Same thing described here. They had eyes all around, and they did not rest day or night. They were singing this whole thing, holy, holy, holy. They were shouting it. They were declaring it. Our God is holy. He is high and exalted. He's set apart. See, it's okay for God to show us our sin in his midst. You know why? Because he's already got the answer. He's already got the answer. He's already got the remedy to our sin. So he's okay with sin coming to light in the worship service. Because you know what? He's already paid the price for our sin. He's already given us atonement for our sin. Sin doesn't intimidate him. He's already conquered sin. He's all right with it because he's already made atonement with it in our life. It's unconfessed that I'm prideful. I don't have sin in my life. I don't need God. That's what he rejects. That's the danger zone. When I say I haven't sinned, I'm not a sinner, I don't need God, that's the danger zone. Look at this next statement. When I am in God's presence, my eyes are open to the things God wants to change in my life. I see how big he is, and I can't help but being in the presence of God and say, God, yeah, you want me to change some things. I need to be a kinder person. I need to show mercy to people around me. I wasn't very merciful this week. Boy, I need to talk softer to my spouse. I was sure better to live with this week. Boy, God, I need to have a better attitude about my job, my boss, because I sure wasn't. I mean, as you're in God's presence, things begin to change. God, I see the addiction, things I'm being addicted to in my life. I see these things aren't pleasing to you. God, I want to get rid of some of these things. I formed these habits in my life that aren't pleasing to you. I don't preach the sermon. The Holy Spirit preaches it right to you. When you see God, the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you. That's what happened. He says, man, I was unclean. I didn't see it. Which brings us to our last statement. When we are in the presence of God, we see how good God really is. We see just how good God really is. Look what Isaiah said, verses 6 and 7. He says, then one of the seraphims flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs of the altar. With it he touched my mouth, and he said this, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Isn't that great? See, when you're in the presence of God, this is what the presence of God will reveal to you. Your guilt has been taken away and your sin atoned for. So this is what happens. When I'm in the true presence of God, I see how big he is. I see how small I am. I see things I need to change in my life. But he also comes, he says, but let me tell you something else, Gene. You are forgiven. You are atoned for. And I have a vision of God's grace when I'm in his midst. I have a vision of how good God is. When Moses, you've heard me teaching about this before, when Moses said, God, I want to see you. Show me what you're famous for. Remember when he hit him in the cleft of the rock. He says, don't look at me. And he hit him. And he let him just see the very back of him as he passed by. And Moses said, God, I've seen you for your goodness. He says, I want to see what you're famous for. Then after he comes back and says, I see you for your goodness. Let me tell you this, God is so good. We don't even comprehend how good our God is. We've heard people say before in church, God is good all the time. And you're like, come on, somebody, you know, if I hear that statement one more time in church, God is good all the time God is good, it's going to drive me crazy. But let me tell you this, this is a reality that our God is good. He's so good, he can't get any gooder. He's so good that his attributes are good. He is good. His goodness comes out of him. It's who he is. He can't help but be good. That's who he is. He wants to be good to you. He wants to be good to me, and he has been. And he wants to reveal his goodness to you and I. Every time we see him, he wants you to see a part of his goodness you've never seen before. God, I see your grace in my life. I am a sinner. But God, I see the grace. God, I remember. See, when I'm in presence, I think, God, I'm not worthy to be here. But God, you have made atonement. Atonement means to what? Become one with. To become one with. Make one with. So when he says that he has made us atonement, he's saying he has made us one with God. Not because we deserve it. Not because we earned it. But because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you and I can now walk in atonement with God. And I say, God, why did you forgive me? You know what he says? Because I'm good. God, I was a horrible person. Why did you restore my life? Because I'm good like that. God is so good we can't even comprehend. And he wants to reveal his love for us, his atoning grace in our life. His goodness, every time we come in his midst, he wants our eyes to be open. That I remember, yes, God, you're big. Yes, I don't deserve to be here, but thank you, God. I see your goodness and your grace has set me free. No power in hell could ever hold me back. No mistake in my past could ever hold me back. Not the person I used to be, not the mistake I made this week, but God, you have set me free. Not because I've earned it, because I'm walking here in the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for me. He has atoned me because you love me that much. Tell you what, it'll set you free. It'll set you free in worship. Some of you, he doesn't want you to leave here guilty trying to earn God's love. No, he wants you to see how much he loves you. He wants you to experience his goodness so that you walk out of here free. I am thankful that even though I'm not the man I need to be, God has atoned me through his grace. Even though I was a woman I'm not proud of in my life before, God has set me free and I can walk in the goodness of God and realize he has atoned me. It sets me free in my worship. So no wonder I want to lift my hands. No wonder I want to raise my voice. No wonder I want to weep before him because he has forgiven me and made me one with him. It's not about my sin. It's about his blood. It's about the atonement. I don't earn it. I come in under the blood of Jesus. May we never forget that, as we talked about last week, the price that was paid for our salvation. May I never forget how much blood it took me to get atoned. And say, God, I'll never forget that. I want to see. So every time I come into the Lord, say, God, I want your manifest presence to open my eyes. I want to see you for your goodness. Bring up that next scripture. Look what it says. It says right here in Psalms 103. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sin, our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, he has forgiven us. Look what Revelation says. I'm sorry, Isaiah 118. It says in Isaiah 118, come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be what? White as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. I tell you what, his goodness is so good. He wants to reveal that to you. Every time we come together, he wants to remind you just how good he is. He wants to remind you of where you come from. And you can't get to from 1.1, which is how big God is, to 0.3, about seeing how good he is, without going through step 2, which is realizing that how small I really am. That I need a Savior. I need to confess my sins. I need to accept him as Lord of my life. And I need to let go of pride in my life continually. Letting go of pride in my life and say, you know what? I am nothing without the Lord. My possessions mean nothing without the Lord. My life means nothing without the Lord. It's a place that he's bringing us all to. So why? So he can reveal his goodness in our life. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. As you bow your heads, I just want to ask you this question. If you're here today and say, Pastor, man, you're talking right at me. Today, I need to accept God's forgiveness in my life. I've never asked Jesus Christ into my life as my personal Savior before. I've never prayed the sinner's prayer. And today, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I won't embarrass you at all today. Or maybe you're here as well and you say, Pastor, I prayed this prayer a long time ago, but I haven't lived for God in a long, long time. And today, I just want to come in and renew my covenant with God. I want to renew that covenant with God and begin to live for him once again in my life. Serve him once again in my life. If that's you today, no one's looking around but me, but can you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to accept Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to join us today? Thank you. Come on, today's your day. If you haven't raised it yet and you want to accept Jesus Christ right now, raise your hand. Say, I'm ready. Today's my day, Pastor. I want to accept Jesus Christ. Raise it right now. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? That's my day today, Pastor. Today's my day, man. I am ready to accept Jesus. If you haven't raised it yet, I'm going to ask you one last time, then we're going to move on. If you haven't raised it yet, I want you to raise it right now. Say, I'm ready to accept Jesus. We're going to say this prayer together. And as Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you. Especially those who raise your hands, repeat after me. Let's say it together. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my life, all of my sin, all of my hurt, all of my pain, all of my dreams. I give you everything I am today. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, say, welcome to the family of God. Give him a hand. Yeah. What an awesome decision today. For those of you who raised your hand today, when you leave today, you stop by our Welcome Center. We got a free Bible for you. Inside that Bible tells you some other material, what to do next on your journey. If you don't have a home church, you need to be coming to a home church, okay? Be around people who will support you. We would love to have you here if you don't have a home church. Be around people who love you and support you in your new decision to follow after Christ. How many today will stand to your feet and say, Pastor, I want to see the Lord in a fresh new way. I want to make sure every time I come in, God, I want to see just how big you are. I want you to let me see just how small I am, and I want to see God's goodness revealed to me all the time. I want to see just how good God is in my life. I want God to open my eyes to a fresh revelation of who he is and his goodness in my life. That's you today. Can you raise your hand and say, man, I want that fresh thing in my life. I'm going to invite you today as we close out this song to join me in the front. As we close out this song, he simply says, let it rain. Come on, bring the passion today. Say, God, I want to see you. God, I want to give my life to you. I want to worship you. Come, let's worship the Lord.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven.
Raise your hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, Lord, as we raise our hands to you this morning, Father, I pray over every person in this room that, God, you would allow our eyes to be open. Lord, I pray for spiritual vision to be unlocked in this building this morning. That, God, from now on, that every time we come into the manifest presence of the Lord, that, Father, our eyes begin to see things spiritually. That, God, we begin to see things spiritually. Our eyes begin to see what you're telling us. What you direct us. We see the things you want to change in our life, and we see just how good you are in our life. We see you for all your goodness, God. That every time we come into your presence, our heart is overwhelmed with the goodness of God. Our heart is overwhelmed with the grace of God, and our mouth won't be silent. Our voices refuse to be silent as we tell you how much we love you, as we tell you how great you are, how big you are in our life. Father, I pray right now that we can see you, that we can see you, God, for all of your glory. We can see you for all your goodness. Come on, let's tell them. We want to see you, Father.
Because we want to see you. Show us your glory.
Come on, tell them.
We want to know you more.
Yeah.
We want to see you. Show us your glory. We want to know you. We want to see you.
My prayer this week is that we will continue to say, God, I want my eyes open. God, I want to see you for all your glory. As you're seeing, I think that what we're seeing happening here is the anticipation, the importance of meeting together, bringing our worship together, bringing our praise together, saying, God, I want something fresh. God, I want something new from you. God, I want you to reveal yourself to me new and fresh every time we come together. And that happens when our faith is being built and we come anticipating, preparing our hearts together. Are you ready? Are you ready for what God's going to do in your life? So give God a hand clap. Say, God, I'm ready. Remember, big day today. Big day today. Find a life group. I just encourage you strongly. Find a life group. Attend a life group. Remember, young adults here tonight with the GAB, high school students in the coffee shop. God bless you. Have a great week.